There's several reasons. You need to remember these reasons for the tribulation period. And these reasons would give us understanding as to why we as Christians will not be included in that 7-year tribulation period, but taken out at the rapture of the church before the tribulation begins. Number one, these 7 years are going to be a time of evangelization of the Jewish people. When we study about the two witnesses, we'll see that 144,000 male virgin Jews will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior and then travel the world telling people the gospel of the kingdom so they may have opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. A great time of evangelism, and we'll have more in-depth study on that when we talk about the two witnesses. Secondly, it is a time to bring an end to Gentile world powers. When you study the book of Daniel, we'll see that the stone destroys the image of the man who was the vision seen by Nebuchadnezzar in his dream and interpreted by Daniel the prophet, who told him that that stone would destroy all of the Gentile world powers and ultimately become a mountain. Jesus Christ comes back to establish his kingdom, thus bringing an end to the Gentile world powers. A third reason for the tribulation period is the defeat of the satanic trinity. You have Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, Satan trying to be the replica of God the Father. Antichrist, the replica of Jesus Christ the Son, and the false prophet endeavoring to be the reproduction of the Holy Spirit. These three will be defeated at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. The Antichrist and the false prophet thrown into the lake of fire. Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then he will be thrown into the lake of fire. We'll study this as we continue through Revelation in a future study. Now, we will not be in this tribulation period. The rapture takes place at the beginning, and we went in depth in our previous studies on the rapture as to why we will not be there. Let me just remind you why we will not be in that 7-year tribulation period. A very good reason is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 10. And this is a message to the church at Philadelphia. Jesus Christ, of course, giving the message to the angel who gave it to John. And here's what the text says. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now, the hour of temptation, referring to the tribulation period, and I want you to notice what Jesus said he would do. I will also keep thee from, not take thee out of the tribulation period, but keep thee from that tribulation period. That is great evidence that we as Christians will not be a part of the tribulation period. The word church is used 25 times in the book of Revelation, the word Israel 30 times. The word church is used 19 times before chapter 4, verse 1, and it is used 6 times after chapter 19, verse 11. Now, if you'll check back with that outline I gave you, that means during that 15 chapters describing the tribulation period, the word church is not used one time at all. Zero amount of times the word church is used in that 15 chapters describing the tribulation period. The word Israel is used 30 times, as I said a moment ago. In the book of Revelation, it's used 3 times before chapter 4, verse 1. It's used 1 time after chapter 19, verse 11. And it is used 26 times. 86% of the time the word Israel is used in the book of Revelation, it is in those 15 chapters describing the tribulation period. There are additional reasons that we will not be in the tribulation period. Remember Daniel's prophecy of 490 years? The first 483 years are the first 69 of the 70 weeks. The church was not in that period of time. Thus, the last 7 years, as found in Daniel 9 and verse 27, the 70th week of Daniel, will not have the church in it either. So that means that we will not be a part of the tribulation period. We will be taken out from this world before the tribulation period. I will keep you from the tribulation period. Well, the rapture of the church, the next main event on God's calendar of activities taking place in the very near future, I do believe, according to a study of prophecy that I've spent studying for a number of years. There is no prophecy, by the way, that has to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church takes place. Not one prophecy. The rapture of the church actually will initiate the rest of history and what is going to happen prophetically according to God's word. So all prophecies yet to be fulfilled take place after the rapture of the church. Well, what happens when the rapture has taken place? Immediately we stand before Jesus Christ, never to leave his presence again. That's what the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 says. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with him in the air, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thus we will stand face to face immediately with Jesus Christ. At that point in time, the judgment seat of Christ will take place. The judgment seat of Christ is to determine what rewards we receive, what crowns Jesus Christ will give us for those things that we have done in his power and for his glory. It will also be a time of loss, loss of reward, because we did many things in our own power and for our own glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 and Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 both say, all of us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior must stand before him for the judgment seat of Christ. How does the procedure unfold? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 deals with how all of this comes about. Quickly, we'll look at it. This is a very important subject because this is preparing us for the wedding of the Lamb, which is going to take place soon after the rapture of the church and before the tribulation period actually begins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read now in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What actually takes place here at the judgment seat of Christ, we stand before him and all of the works that we have done in the past are going to be judged. I said a moment ago, those works we did in his power and for his glory, we shall receive rewards for. Those will be the gold, silver, and precious stones works. Those works we do in our power for our own glory, and many works that I have done, I'm sure, were in that category. They will be the wood, hay, and stubble works. They will be burned up, and I will receive no reward for those particular works. It's like taking a balance, and on one side of the balance you have the gold, silver, and precious stones works, those works done for his glory and in his power, and the wood, hay, and stubble works, and those works are done by us for our own glory. They're dropped into the fire. When the fire touches gold, silver, and precious stones, it simply purifies it. When it touches the wood, hay, and stubble, it consumes it. The balances come up out of the fire. The only works remaining are those gold, silver, and precious stones works. Those are the works we shall receive a reward for. Now, the rewards we're going to receive are going to be five crowns. Five crowns that we need to think about as we realize that we're going to stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ.